It's sweet to be in the presence of the Lord. It's sweet to be in the presence of the Lord. When we come here, we offload in order for Him to load us. And as many that have offloaded your burdens this morning, may He the Lord refill you with His blessings in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. Okay, very quickly, because of the activities we have today, the Bright TV that is 10 and they will be coming to thank the Lord specially. Let me just quickly exhort our spirit, and I want us to open our hearts in order to see what He the Lord has for us this morning. And I believe He's prepared to bless somebody in the name of Jesus. When we look at the things happening in Christendom, when we look at how the church is formed, how everyone is moving in the understanding of their faith, it is sometimes very necessary for us, Bride of Christ worldwide, to again come back and looking at how we started, looking at the things that makes us unique. We are a church that is different from every other church because there is something that makes us unique. A minister was in my office this morning and I was telling him there are things you need to know about the message, because in the outside world, they don't have what makes them special. They are recounting or resounding what their fathers of faith have said before, without them actually coming back in their local assembly to look at these things one after the other and run with something that will make them unique. So when we look outside there, we see all of them speaking one language, and I tell the minister, there are things in this end time message that makes us unique. If you want to be in this message and remain unique, there are core messages of this movement that you have to know, and that makes us unique. And when we come out, we speak those languages that makes us unique. Somebody shout hallelujah. Apostle Paul, when you look at the writings of Paul, you will understand the truth. You know, when somebody wants to die, and the person knows of sure he's going to die, the person doesn't talk like anyhow person. The person doesn't talk as if one who has another 200 years to live. So when you look at the writings of Paul, when you come down to the book of 2 Timothy, and you look at the writings of Peter, when you look at the book of 2 Peter, these are the writings of these two generals of the Lord that they wrote at the point that they are aware that they are going to die. No, somebody, you are not listening. I want you to follow. When you look at the book of 2 Timothy and the book of 2 Peter, these are the writings of men that are already aware, that their time of departure is at hand. So when they wrote those two passages of the scriptures, they wrote with every sincerity of heart, knowing that millions of people, time to come, will bank their faith on the writings that they've wrote. And Paul says in the book of 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, he says, my time of departure is at hand. So somebody who knows, say, for I am now ready. Say, for I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So this is a young man that already knows he's going to die. It's not that we believe we are going to die. No, I'm not talking of that one. By this time, Paul already knew that his execution is just by the corner. So writing this is supposed for us to take his writings to heart. Praise Master Jesus. And Peter, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, also aware that he's going to die, he gave us a very good advice that I will want to build on, and he the Lord will establish us this morning in the name of Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1, 12 Okay, let me start from verse 10 down to 12. He said, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall not fail. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Verse 12, my emphasis. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Beloved of God, some of the things I'm going to speak tonight, this morning, are some of the things you've known before, but I want us to look at it from another angle. And again, looking at it from another angle, if today is your very first time of hearing us, please pay attention, because you will soon discover what makes us unique in what we've believed, what makes us take a stand in the doctrines of the Father. And Apostle Peter is saying that we should make diligence. Say, we should rather, my brethren, be diligent to make our call and election. He said we should make it sure. And I was saying, when Paul was talking about Clement, Paul, because Clement walked very close to him, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, he was able to see the name of Clement in the book of life. He said, and I entreat thee also through your fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. So I believe Clement then will be so gladdened that at least Apostle Paul, who knows, he peeped into the spiritual and he saw the book of life. He saw the name of Clement. But Peter didn't see my name. Peter is advising you and I that we should make diligence. We should make diligence to make sure that our own name, our individual names, are written in the book of life. So Clement, at the time of Paul, will be so comforted. This spiritual man, he will be thinking, Paul has looked into the book of life to see his name. But it was because of the life he was living before Paul that made Paul to make that statement. And before you could see the name of another person in the book of life, you yourself, you are sure that your name is already in the book of life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So Peter is advising us to make sure our own names, our individual names, are in the book of life. And when this is done, you are rest assured here on earth. If you can beat your chest and say that when the rapture strikes today, your name is there, there are things you begin to live by that actually portrays that. Praise Master Jesus. I want us to take the text from the book of Mark, chapter 16. Verse 15 and 16. Please take note. Follow me very carefully. The book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. I want to point out the things that makes us unique with this very short time that I have. Take note. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking now, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hold it there. Hold verse 15 first. Now, this is a command that is given to those who are already saved, the disciples. Go into the field of the world, like our evangelist, Brother Chinedu and his team. They go into the world, the general world, to preach the gospel according to this commandment in verse 15 of Acts chapter 16. They move into the world to preach the gospel. Now, let's see the effects or what comes by that action they have gone outside to do. Verse 16. Now, it says, he that believeth, take note, he that believeth in the going out of the evangelist to preach the gospel, when the evangelist goes out to preach the gospel, that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ has come to redeem us. Verse 16 says, those that respond to that message that the evangelist has preached, he said, and they are baptized shall be saved. Praise Master Jesus. Now, take note before we go back to the next one. He said, but he that believeth not shall be damned. There are two groups of people here. The first group of people are those when Brother Chinedu and his team goes out to preach the general gospel. They say, Jesus, I beg, I have nothing to do with Christianity. I don't want to do anything with Christianity. Please, hold your Jesus. I am okay where I am. Now, Jesus himself already gave us the end of this second group of people. He said, they that believed not on that evangelical movement of Brother Chinedu and the rest, he said, they are already condemned. As long as they continue rejecting the gospel, their eternal destination is fixed already. They are already condemned because they refuse accepting the preaching of the evangelist. But now we want to talk on those who believed the gospel. Give me back that verse 16. That is where we want to dwell now. I want you to open your eyes so that you can bring yourself and fit in where you are. Or today is the first time you are hearing us. Follow us and you will understand now, if you've not understood before, why we boastfully say that one saved is eternally saved. Because being saved is a process, as we want to see now. He said, he that believeth the message of the evangelist and is baptized shall be saved. Praise Master Jesus. I want to speak on the topic I titled, Unbelieving Believers. Unbelieving Believers. Give me back that verse 16. Unbelieving Believers. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, this belief here that you believe is not yet you being saved. That you responded to the message of the evangelist and you believed the message of the evangelist, you are not yet saved. And upon this ground, you are an unbelieving believer. Even though you are a believer, as in this context, you are still an unbeliever because there are still processes you need to undergo in order for you to be saved. Churches today that we have, they are unbelieving believers. They thought or they think they've been saved, but they don't know they are those that responded to the message of the evangelist and refused to come in for the pastor to unleash some of the things the evangelist may not know. The pastor will feed them with the present truth that we establish them. He said, they that believe and although they are believers, but they've not been baptized, and yet they've not been saved, though they are believers. Praise Master Jesus. We are going to look at the lives of people in the Bible. We are not talking of the secular world. Now, you place yourself in these characters of the scriptures. We are going to see unbelieving believers in the Bible. Unbelieving believers. We are going to see them in the Bible. So you could understand the stretching of the stand of this ministry, that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Why? Because there is a process you have passed. So you wouldn't use the life of him that is an unbelieving believer to compare to the life of him that is saved. There are two different people. There are Christians that are unbelieving believers, and there are Christians that are saved. Praise Master Jesus. Let me see the book of Acts. Acts chapter 19. We want to look at the first group of unbelieving believers in the scriptures. Acts chapter 19 from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, passing through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. For them to be disciples, which means they are believers. But this group of people, they are unbelieving believers. They attend churches. They have a pastor. including them and their pastors, they are unbelieving believers. They speak in tongues. They do other things that Christians supposedly do, but they are unbelieving believers. Give me verse 2. Look at the question of Paul. He said, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, since you did what? Since you believed. This group of people are believers, but they are unbelieving believers. So before Paul could ask them that question, certainly there are conversations that went on that Dr. Luke didn't give us here. For Paul to have asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Which means they had some conversations that Luke didn't put in here. So Paul saw them as believers, but with that question, we understand that they are unbelieving believers. Praise Master Jesus. And they said they've not heard anything about the Holy Spirit. And Paul said to them, unto what baptism then were you baptized? Because when the evangelist preached the word that you believed, you're supposed to come in and the pastor continues from where the evangelist has stopped. And if actually the pastor preached the water baptism after you've believed, there is something that needed to follow immediately after you've baptized. And Paul said, unto what baptism then were you baptized? He said, it's John the Baptist's baptism. Oh, Paul said, that is the reason why you have not received the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, from where we read, it says, they that believe and is baptized shall be saved. So there are two ministries there. The enablement to bring those who have believed down to the feet of Jesus to be saved. And immediately Paul demonstrated the baptism of the Holy Spirit by bringing them down under the feet of Jesus and got them saved. That was when they became saved. Before that time, they were unbelieving believers. We've seen Christians all over the world, pastors all over the world, that thought or they think they are saved, but they are in the category of unbelieving believers. Paul called them believers. But from what we've seen, they didn't believe. The second scenario we want to see a pastor that is an unbelieving believer. A pastor going around in the churches, preaching the gospel. And when he arrives, the people say, the man of God with fire is here. We are going to give you 3 allocations to preach 3 Sundays. And when he begins to preach, things begin to happen. But when we study the scripture carefully, we get to discover that pastor is an unbelieving believer. So you watching us from the denominational faction, you can see the things that we know that makes us speak the way we speak, that not because you believed in Jesus as the Lord and personal Savior that will make you saved. No, there are processes to it. If not, you will remain an unbelieving believer, assuming that you've saved. And it was from this inspiration that our pastor preached salvation by assumption. Salvation by assumption. Because you felt you've believed and you think you are saved. You are not the one saving yourself without going through the laid down scriptural rudiments for one to be saved. Somebody shout hallelujah. The book of Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18 from verse 24. The powerful man Apollos. Apollos, before meeting Priscilla and Aquila, Apollos was an unbelieving believer. Apollos knew the scriptures. He was so strong in the scriptures. But by the test of the word that was given to him by Priscilla and Aquila, we get to know that Apollos is an unbelieving believer. Give me verse 24. He said, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. So that is why when I read this, I say, Africa, rejoice. Apollos is our brother. He's our brother. Put your hands together. He's our brother. He's born in Egypt. Egypt. Alexandria is in Egypt. A Jew from Egypt. So when they say the gospel or Christianity is the white man's religion, or the white man brought religion to us, I begin to laugh because they don't understand anything. As of this time, Apollos was moving already from Egypt, going to Asia to preach the gospel, to preach what he knows. He was already preaching from Africa, from Africa. So when they say these things, you laugh at them because they don't have knowledge. The same time he went to Europe was the same time Africa was still strong in the tenth day. Give me that verse. So Apollos left from Egypt and he went to Ephesus in Asia Minor to preach about that Messiah is come. He said a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man. You can just debate him with the charismatic pastors we have today. He said, I'm mighty in the scriptures. Apollos can take mic, quote scriptures without touching the Bible, without looking at the Old Testament. He can quote the scripture without looking at the Old Testament. And he said, I came to Ephesus. Now, when Apollos came into Ephesus, they said to the congregation, thank you very much, that the mighty man of the world is here. We need to allow this visiting pastor, visiting all the way from Africa. The man is doing wonderful miracles, signs and wonders. In his miracle, the blind is seeing. In his miracle, the limbs are walking. In his miracle, you speak in tongue. But we've got to know that the priority of the early apostles was not in the miracles, but their priority was in the preaching of the word. When Paul performed a miracle in Troas, a young man while Paul was preaching fell down and died completely. People were crying, putting their hands on their head. If I was there then, I wonder what would have been my own position. Paul went down there, touched the boy that blood was already gushing out from his body. He came back to life. Okay, if I am the pastor of that church, for 3 months, we'll be showing that miracle. How God is it not what we are seeing in the denominational churches today? That is what we are seeing. If such a miracle happens, they will interview both the father and the mother and the sister of the young man that died, and they will take a shot from this side to see what Paul was doing in order to raise the boy. They will bring pastor here and see how he raised the boy. But the Bible says immediately Paul went up to the upper room. He continued preaching the gospel without making reference again to that great miracle that happened. He didn't make reference again. That is why you see pastors say, if he begin to televise or to document for the public consumptions the miracles God is doing with him here, people will fool here. But the reason why, he doesn't want to attract the wrong audience. If you are here listening to the word of this ministry, put your hands together for the Lord. You are the right audience. That is why we will present the truth of the gospel to you, because you are here not because of the miracles you've seen. You are here because you love the world. And the mighty man from Africa, Pastor Apollos, came in and the congregation sat down. He began to preach the gospel. He was preaching mightily. Priscilla and Aquila, they were there. They saw him finish preaching, and after the sermon, everybody was cheering, shouting up. They called him to one corner and they said to him, Brother Apollos, you did very well. You are a good preacher. Please, can we ask you a question? The test of the world. They wanted to test those things that he had been preaching with the world. They brought the world to test him, and they asked him a question. Brother Paul, Apollos, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? He said, Holy Spirit, is that a new movement or another thing? You are missing something. And they drew Apollos in and they got Apollos saved. Though Apollos was a believer, but he was an unbelieving believer until he met Priscilla and Aquila and they got him saved. Pastor Apollos was an unbelieving believer. And that is what we have almost everywhere today. And they are gathering congregations, but giving them the test of the world, we understand they are unbelieving believers. And immediately, Apollos received that message, the Bible says his sermon changed. Apollos didn't argue, because there is a deep, the Bible says, the deep calleth deep. The deep in Apollos, the deep that wrote his name in the book of life from the foundation of the world, was waiting for an opportunity where he will come in contact with the deep of the Holy Spirit, and the deep in him will respond to the deep of the Holy Spirit. I don't know as many that are here now, the deep in you for ages have been waiting for this sermon to connect to the deep in the Holy Spirit. I say, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Deep in Apollos was waiting for the opportunity. Was waiting for opportunity. And the Bible says immediately Apollos received the Holy Spirit, he went about, his sermon changed from the baptism of John the Baptist now to preaching that Jesus Christ is the Christ, is the Lord. Everything must come to him. And that was when Priscilla and Aquila, they gave him bill of acceptance, because he was traveling to Corinthians, to Acha. They said, yeah, go there. There is a church we've established. Go in there and continue the gospel. Now, we've seen two groups of people now that are unbelieving believers. They parade themselves as pastors. They parade themselves as those who have believed. But when you believed, have you been saved? Now, the question will be, since you believe, have you been saved? It's one thing to believe, it's another thing to be saved. Praise Master Jesus. The third group in the scriptures is the people that Evangelist Philip went about in Samaria preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. You see, when we are saying this, now you cannot fit in. Am I joking with my internal destination? Remember, the people Peter wrote the book of 2 Peter to, they are believers. Now, Peter is telling them, make diligent to, don't joke with this, with the lies they are telling you. They bring you to the altar. They say, do you believe? Yes, you believe. You are saved. And you start saying, he said, no, don't believe that. To make diligence, you, to make sure that your name is there. Not what pastor told you, because that pastor may be an unbelieving believer. Die, Jesus Christ. And when Philip arrived Samarian, he began to do the work of an evangelist. He began to preach the gospel, and many people believed the gospel that Philip preached. Let's see that in the book of Acts chapter 8. Give me verse 12. Acts chapter 8. He said, but when they believed, look at them. The people he preached the evangelical message to, the Bible says, when they believed the preaching of the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, go to verse 14. Go to verse 14. Take note now. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria has received, that is belief, received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. For what purpose? By, hold it for, go back to 14. By this time, the people in Samaria were believers, but they are still unbelieving believers. They were believers. They believed the sermon of Philip. They believed the message. They even congregated as a church, and they have Simeon as one of their lead men in the church. But they were all unbelieving believers, because there are processes that you need after you've believed, that you need to undergo, that will make you saved. And that is why Peter is begging every one of us that we should make diligence that we are not believers alone. That we are not unbelieving. If you are believers alone, that makes you unbelieving believers. He said we should make sure we are saved, not believe. You should make sure we are saved. Now, when Philip has finished getting the people to believe, they send for Jerusalem. Please, Peter and John, come and make these people saved. and make the people that have believed come and make them safe. Hey, I don't know if somebody is hearing this. They are believers, but they are still unbelieving believers, as we have in many churches today. Give me verse 15. Whom, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16. Take note now. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you believe and you are baptized correctly in the name of Jesus, you are still an unbelieving believer. Three category. There are those that believe, they are not yet baptized, or they are baptized wrongly. They still have two journeys to go, according to that scriptures. Now that you've done the first one by believing, and you've been baptized, doesn't make you saved. Hey, Jesus. That is the salvation by assumption that the Christian world is living today. Assuming that they are saved because they believe, they don't know yet they are saved nothing. Until you complete the process given to you. Give me that verse. The Bible says, give me that verse 16. Verse 16. He said, for as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received salvation. Hey! And they received salvation. And they became saved after this last exercise was done to them. They received salvation. Before then, they were unbelieving believers. And when we say, without Holy Ghost, there is no rapture, the people think we don't know what we are saying. We understand the breaking down of the apostles' message. Praise Master Jesus. In verse 6 of that Acts chapter 19, verse 6, that Acts chapter 19, as I begin to round up, because of our time, he said, and when Paul... You see, the exercise of Peter and John laid hands on them. That is one of the ways of receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul is repeating it again. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. That was when they became saved. Before then, they were unbelieving believers. Every year in this ministry, coming June, we are organized every year because we understand the importance. That was what Pastor was also preaching on Friday. We understand the importance of the Holy Spirit. And we give 21 full days to prepare ourselves for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because we understand the importance. Let me just give you one importance of that Holy Spirit. Give me the book of Romans 8, 9, and 10 and 11. Romans 8. He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. You see, when Paul is speaking now, he's speaking under probability, because he himself, Paul, doesn't have power to make somebody save. He doesn't even know who is saved. So he's speaking on probability. You are the one that knows if you are saved. He said, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, you are the one that knows if the Spirit of God dwells in you. He said, now, look, this is one of the reasons why you need the Holy Spirit. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you are a pastor like Apollos. Or you are a church member like those people in Ephesus. If you have not the Spirit of God, you are an unbelieving believer. Because it's the Spirit of Christ that makes you saved. And that is why the book of Matthew chapter 7, he said, then many will come to me. The people that will come to him are the unbelieving believers. They will say, in your name, we have done these miracles. In your name we have done this. He will say, go, I don't know you. Because he's looking to see his spirit in you. And the spirit is not reflecting with what he knows. And he said, if no one has this spirit, he is none of his. He will say he doesn't know you. That is why in this church we give it importance for people to make sure that they have this Holy Spirit. Give me go down verse 11. Verse 11 of that Romans 8. Take note. He said, but if the spirit of him, glory, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He said, he that raised up a Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Is that spirit that got you saved? Is that spirit that we raise? That we raise any man that have died before now? Is that spirit that will bring up that man? And us that are not yet dead, when that spirit, when he come in the last trump with the voice of the archangel, because that spirit is in you, your physical body will be transformed in a twinkle of an eye. Because the spirit is in you, your physical body will be transformed to another body that will break the law of gravity. It will break the law of gravity. You will move and nothing will bring you down, because the spirit is expressly in you. Child of God, are you an unbelieving believer? Are you among the crowd? Are you among those who have salvation by assumption, believing that they are saved? Apollos was one of them. Apollos thought he was saved until he came in contact with Priscilla and Aquila. Child of God, I want to ask you, you've come in contact with this glorious ministry. If you do not hearken to the advice of Peter by following our teachings and making sure, come rain, come sun, you've been saved, on that day, he will also tell us, go, I know you not, because what he's looking for is his spirit. Finally, the last reason, the work of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. You see Pastor Lumide talking this is the knowledge he's speaking from. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, take note, whereby you are sealed. You are sealed. Immediately you receive that spirit, you have a seal unto the day of redemption. Unto the day of redemption, you are sealed. Nothing can remove you again from the hollow of his hand. This hand that got you saved, nothing will remove you again. Rather, you will be doing everything to please him continually. The way to receive this Holy Spirit, the Bible says, as Peter yet speak, the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 44 came down on them. Now, knowing that is the right spirit they received, immediately they received the Holy Spirit, they went. You see, somebody who jumped to primary 2, and when he got to primary 2, he understood that, there are subjects of primary 1 I needed to know. Immediately, by God by himself, God themselves through the Holy Spirit, they went back and completed. Say, the spirit you receive will lead you to all truth. The Spirit lead them to start what they needed to have done, because salvation is by God and God alone. And the next step you can receive it is by us and by yourself. The book of Luke chapter 11, you look 13 down. He say, if we men that are evil can give good gifts to our children, what of you? When you ask the Holy Spirit, he will not give it to you. He will give it to you if only you will ask. Bow down your heads and begin to talk to the Lord. Begin to tell the Lord, I don't want to continue being an unbelieving believer. I never knew this is the position. Make me a believer. Make me a believer. Yes, Father. Make me a believer. He said, you will ask. You will ask. If you ask, he will grant you the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit is not in you, this Spirit, if it's not in you, forget it. Forget it. That is our stand. That is our uniqueness. That is what makes us stick. That is what makes us speak the way we speak. Because we know where we stand. Beloved of God, if only you will cry unto God. I don't want to be an unbelieving believer. We have those characters in the Bible. We have those characters. Unbelieving believers begin to talk to him. Begin to talk to him. Cry unto the Lord. Yes, Jesus. We don't want to be unbelieving believers. Make me say, open your word unto me. I don't want to continue being a religious man. Unbelieving believers are religious people. Yes, Jesus. The truth is far from them. Cry unto him. Cry unto him. Yes, you can ask the Holy Spirit, and he, the Lord, will grant it unto you. You can ask, he will grant it unto you, beloved of God. Paul says, knowing the terror of God, we persuade men, we persuade. I am persuading you, because as a pastor, we've also looked deep in the scripture to understand what awaits those that doesn't go in the rapture.
Of truth,
yes, Father.
Thou hast,
yes, Jesus.
For me.
We've looked deep. We've seen what awaits those that doesn't have these spirits. Yes, my Father, it's very important. It's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Don't be an unbelieving believer. An unbelieving believer. That is what we have all over the places. Pastors. Pastors are big, with big, big churches and big, big titles. They are all unbelieving believers from the scripture. Don't rate a man. Don't rate a woman by the size of his congregation, by the numbers of the congregants in his church. Find out if that man is an unbelieving believer before you yield yourself under such ministry. If not, an unbelieving believer that is a pastor will lead the whole congregation disarray. He will lead them into the pit that burns with fire. We don't want you to go there. We want you to check deep into the spirits. If you've received the Holy Spirit, if you've been saved, you can believe and yet not be saved. We've seen it in the scriptures. You can believe and even be baptized and yet not be saved. Ah, Jesus, help your people this afternoon. Help your people, help your people, help your people. All over the world, Jesus. You say if we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, you will grant it unto us. Your children, they are asking now. They are asking. 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 Yes, Father. They are asking, Lord. They are asking. Yes, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. If you love the Father, you will ask of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Father. We give you praise, Lord. 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 Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. Make diligent. Peter said those words at the time of his departure. He knows he's going to die. That is one of the last advice Peter gave to the church and the body of Christ. Oh, Jesus, help your people. Talk to him. He will hear you. His word says, if you ask, he will give it to you. That is one of the ways to receive. He said, if you open your mouth to ask, he will give it to you. Yes. If you ask, he will give it to you. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Talk to him. We worship you. We worship you. Yes, Jesus. Oh, Emmanuel, we thank you, Lord. Talk to him. Oh, Lord, I will.